Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance, Sip and Discuss episode. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
And Leah. Hello, Leah.
Hello, Becky.
Okay, so how's your week going? It's Wednesday. It's hump day.
It's hump day.
It's hump day.
I fixed my dryer.
That's right. No dryer fires today.
Nope.
Go Jenny. It's been a week and it's only Wednesday.
It's been a couple weeks.
It's been a couple weeks, couple months. Really, 2025 can suck ass, but it's okay because I'm really excited about this book and it's been on our TBR, I think forever.
Yeah. Well, and Amanda has talked about how much she enjoyed it multiple times. And it's like, we really need to read that book. And we just hadn't gotten around to it. And then Amanda's like, let's do it for a Sip and Discuss. We're like, yes, we will.
Let's do it.
We will.
So I think it's one of those again. And I'm just as bad as everybody else. You know, we often get called out, especially with authors of color and less represented voices. We often hear, you know, like, it's okay to say, I want to put it on my TBR, but you have to prioritize moving it up on your TBR and actually reading it. And unfortunately, I think this is one of those books that I constantly was like, oh, it's on my TBR, I'm going to get to it. And I never prioritized it. So I'm grateful for this episode that we prioritized it. So
and there honestly, there's so many books where I do that, where I'm like, I'll get to it later type of thing, and then I never do.
Yeah,
my TBR is just like this vague thing off. And
I don't have an actual TBR. It's basically if it's been written, it's on my TBR.
Yeah,
and I'll get to it eventually. But there's more books coming out, so it's really hard sometimes.
Well, in this, we should definitely. So this week we're reading The Legacy by Dylan Allen. It is book one in the Rivers Wild series. And I wouldn't even call this a series. I would say this is a freaking saga.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like our couple has an HEA at the end.
But
it's still like one of those family sagas where there's like a lot of like discord and
there's like secrets. Some soap opera vibes.
Like
people Dallas. Are going to reach out,
It is so messy, and I kept thinking, "Oh, this is like Falcon's Crest and Santa Barbara, and like I just need someone to die off a cliff or something." Especially when they're like in Italy, I'm like just a random body like flying off a cliff.
Well, I mean, she does like she is like on
she
the cliff,
almost
like,
did.
Ready
she
to is. Die. Like, when she goes through the railing, so I mean, there was a little bit of that cliff like. Stuff happening.
Yeah, it was messy and I kind of loved it. This book does reaffirm for me I like a messy book.
I do too.
It gives us, well, and especially for these kinds of episodes, it gives us something to sink our teeth into and talk about.
Well, that's the thing, like
go ahead Jenny.
Okay, so I use mac and cheese a lot. This is not a mac and cheese. It is definitely like 7-layer lasagna.
It is. It is complicated. It is messy. But at the end, it is going to be worth every single bite. I don't know where Leah just went. She muted.
So hard, she disappeared.
I was trying to mute so I could cough, but I turned my camera off instead. So...
Anyway, go Leah.
Guys, I'm still in the flu fog. Don't make fun of me.
We're not making fun of you.
Definitely will.
Does anybody want to read the things to know, or you want me to do it?
I can do it.
Okay, go for it, Jenny.
Release date is October 26, 2018. Tropes are opposites attract, billionaire, enemies to lovers, family rivalry, feuding, dynasties, second chance at love. Culture clash. Series name is Rivers Wild. It's a interconnected standalone series. Point of view is dual first. Actually, there's a third.
There is a third, but for the most part, it's dual first person.
And put out percentage is 30%. Audio narrators are Stephen Dexter and Robin Vern.
Mm-hmm.
and it's available in KU. Audio is free with Audible or Hoopla.
I did the audiobook. Did either one of you do the audio?
No, I eyeballed this one.
I just used it to figure some things out where there were little discrepancies in the book.
So I do think this is one of her first manuscripts she published.
Yeah, I think it is.
And I do think we need to caveat there were a lot of typo editorial editor type issues that created some consistency issues. Those were not a problem in the audiobook. So, but I had seen reviews where people talked about, this book needs an editor. There were a lot of problems. I don't think there were a lot of problems, but I did see a few.
I think there were some that were jump out at you, and there were definitely more towards the end of the book. So maybe it was one of those rush.
Yeah.
I think part of it, it just needed a good proof. Honestly, a lot of the issues in it are just, it just needed proved.
Yeah. So, and I can give some forgiveness. But like I said, the audio didn't have any of those issues. And I.
So this was her fifth book, if I'm her fifth, fifth right. book. Yeah.
I really, really liked the audio. It was really well done. I like Stephen Dexter.
I do too. I like him a lot.
And Robin.
I've never heard that female narrator, though. Is she somebody else? Or
I don't know. This is the first time I had listened to her also. And I didn't think she sounded like anyone else. And I didn't dig.
The name doesn't sound familiar.
But I did love her in the character here. I think she did a great job. Okay, so let's start with settings. The story, it does feel like a little bit of a love letter to Houston.
Yeah, and she does
have... But she's from the area.
Yeah, and she has a note in the front of the book about that's why she picked it. She believes that Houston's an actual melting pot where people can all live together.
Yeah. She lives on the East Coast now, outside D.C.,
but she's from Houston.
Yeah. Well,
if I remember right.
She's not actually from Houston. She's an immigrant.
Yeah.
Well, but she grew up in Houston.
Yeah. She came over as a child, which her own story is very intriguing and interesting.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
But then we also get partially set in Italy. And I felt like her descriptions of language, food, and people. And she creates this lush setting by really touching all of our senses in her descriptive narratives.
Yeah,
that's a good way to explain it. And she does it in a way where you're not bombarded with a list of this is what it looks like.
She almost immerses you into the story itself with the way that she describes things. She's showing you, but not showing you at the same time. It's this weird
immersive. Yeah. Don't you feel her world building, you were just kind of plunked down in the middle of this world, and it's so
when
she lush.
Even when she's describing confidence while she's running away from him essentially and then falls over the through the railing on the cliff thing. It feels very real in the way she describes it and her fears and all that stuff. You're very in tune with the characters and the way that they're creating this life.
I also think that Legacy is a perfect title for this book.
Yes.
It fit really well.
Because the way that she uses her world and her setting to build out legacy, power, and belonging, it really fits the narrative of this story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a word like legacy, you think power struggle, but also that internal struggle of how am I going to live up? How do I keep moving forward? And I feel like she did that, expressed all of the different intricacies and depths of that word in the way she told this story.
Well, and I think it... Go ahead, Jenny.
And for both characters, it wasn't just his legacy. Like, she confidence really struggled with like her past and how that like shaped her future too. So
yeah.
Well, and like the way that she opens the book up itself, it's like he is 16, but he's like basically getting torn away from like the home that he knows. And it's like, when you turn 30, like you have to come back and like or 25, like you have to come back and like reclaim your place.
Yeah.
So it's the whole like thought process from the get-go and the way she just sets the story up itself.
Yeah. So characters in this book, Confidence Ryan, it took me a minute to get that her name was Confidence, but her sisters are Fortune and Happiness.
Brothers.
Her siblings. Yeah. Her siblings.
Yeah. Both, yeah, Fortune and Happiness.
I giggled every time.
Yeah, I have to say, but like she does talk about like the naming and things like that. So like at first you're like, ooh, that's interesting. And then like there's a little bit more to it. That was a choice. but honestly, it really fit her well. Like she lived up to that name in a really good way.
And I like that she was like blatant about it, like, yes, that is my name. Like, let's move on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she, Confidence herself, is really strong-willed. I know that Leah struggled a little bit with her stubbornness.
Yeah, I did. And it's not that I dislike the fact that she was stubborn. I just felt like she took it, like she could have given in to things sooner. Like I felt like she held tight a little too long.
I agree with this. And it Stacey brings up something in the YouTube chat where she says, honestly, the romance was her least favorite part. There was so much drama and mess everywhere to enjoy. And I do feel like sometimes in a saga, in a book that's going to be a drawn out series of messiness like this, the romance can feel like a second, like come in second place to the messiness of the saga. And I do feel like in this book, that is what happens.
Yeah, I think that's very fair because we like see them meet and then it just kind of jumps like a month, 2 months, 3 months. So they're an established couple, even though they're not living in the same place.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of like the catalyst for.
Well, and even
his like, crazy family.
The way that they met was not great. Like he was an asshole. And I mean, he's kind of an asshole the whole book, which I really enjoy that as everybody knows. And so like, but at the beginning of their relationship,
would you
like,
say he's an asshole or is he just really jaded?
That's he's kind of question. An asshole.
I didn't feel.
I mean, he treated her like shit when they first met.
But he had,
and like just the way
a
that
reason,
he,
though I think,
but
he has
had reasons. But it's the way in which he spoke. You can be jaded and not be a dick.
So I guess I gave him a little bit of grace because of, you know, he really struggles between power and purpose. Like that is his big thing. What is my power? What is my purpose? Who am I? And because of how he was raised. Away from, you know,
everything.
Away from everything. And then he just kind of gets thrust into it. I feel like it's more lack of understanding and this jadedness.
Well, and I mean, he had an ex-wife that used him.
Yeah.
Well, this is true.
He thought he was done with her. And then she's like, ooh, wait.
Yeah, but still kind of an asshole. Though.
I do think, I mean, saying. I give he is demanding. He is very possessive. He is arrogant, like buckets of arrogance.
Yeah.
And, but I didn't mind it. Like,
oh, I didn't mind it.
I didn't hate
I had no
it.
Problems with it. But I'm just saying, like, my thing is, like, my whole point to that was at the beginning of the story, their relationship was just really easy. Like, once they got past that initial reaction, like it flowed easy. They got along. They spoke. There was communication. And then his family happened, and it went downhill from there.
Do you think that for his jadedness, his assholery, did he redeem himself enough through his making amends and his groveling?
I think he did, which is why I'm kind of mad at her.
Well, and I think he learned a lot. Like he learns a lot about himself, like both internally and externally. And then like having a baby coming is like you got to figure out what all this means because you got to teach somebody else. Like,
I think he did because I think that's the thing. Like, he recognized even from the get-go, like, he shouldn't have said those things. He shouldn't have asked for it. And like, his big thing was trying to get past it without her knowing about it. But dude, that never happens.
never. I
Like,
mean, his brother told him. He
yeah,
did.
and that's the thing. And I think he recognized like he was an idiot, but he had been burned in the past by the ex-wife. And so like the reasoning behind it made sense. The lack of transparency and the fact that she found out, and she is like she also is a little bit jaded in the way that like she grew up because like her dad and her brother were both abusive. She grew up fairly poor, like, and so it's like they both have a lot of
What
issues with the
baggage.
a
Both of
lot
them
of
are bringing a
baggage,
lot of
like
baggage in.
with the way they grew up and how people view them. Like he is like seen as this unattainable like god essentially in some ways because he is in charge of this company and he has so much money and she is from the wrong side of the tracks.
Well, and she's also been hurt by someone that had power over her. Like,
Because that X was a tool.
really was. So I don't feel like their
And his
baggage,
name was
though,
Nigel.
Nigel, I don't feel that their baggage muted their chemistry.
No.
I thought that their chemistry was really well done. It felt fresh the way that they come together, I guess. And fresh, I mean, like, it just. The sex scenes were good. They didn't feel cringy. There was never a moment where I'm like, why are we
Well,
doing
and even
this?
being like from 2018, like it aged, granted, it's not that old in the grand scheme of things, but in the book world, that's a fairly old book, but it aged well. The tech is fairly good still. Like there's not a lot of like
That's 7 years
disconnects
old.
there. Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. In the grand scheme of things, 7 years is not that old. But in books, seven is an older book. So it's like you figure a lot of some of the books that we've read that are a little bit older, like the sex scenes are a little bit more cringy and there is a little bit less like consent in those things. But this book didn't have any of that. Like it flowed well, it's aged well.
I think there's a timeless dynamic between the two of them with she being light, he is the dark, she is the dreamer, he is resilient. Those are timeless themes. And as I was reading this book, and this is again why I have been screaming since what, November, that family sagas we are going to be picking up on in our romances because. This dynamic, this timeless theme of resilience and light versus dark and having a dream, all of that is kind of the hope that we need right now. We need to see these messy, complicated relationships. And in the end, love is still standing, even though everything was working against them.
Well, and even like when he finds out like his aunt is actually his mom and his dad wasn't his dad, and like he's so angry about that, and that like really clues more into like who really am I type of thing. It's like his entire life like he's been lied to, and it's like he's already having a hard enough time trying to find his place as like the head of the kingdom, and then they throw that at him, and it's like, what the fuck now?
So, do you hope that Remington Wilde, do you want it to read his book?
I already
I'm going to
started
read his book.
it.
You're already invested, huh, Jenny?
Yep, I started it today.
That's
I like
fantastic.
Remy. I like his character. I think that he's going to be a really dynamic story.
And I didn't read the blurb on his book because I wanted to be like totally surprised. I told Becky earlier I felt a little like misled by the blurb on this book. It wasn't what I expected, not in a bad
Well,
way
the
per se. It's just,
prologue. I read the
okay, wait.
blurb.
But I have to say the prologue. You read the
Oh,
pro that was
yeah.
Remington versus Hayes. Yeah.
Yeah.
If I didn't know better, I would have thought it was going to be an MM relationship between the two of them. I mean, I knew
I could see
better.
that. Yeah. I
Yeah.
could see why you would think
But the
that.
way that prologue reads, I really had
Yeah.
a moment and I'm like, this isn't
What
MM, right?
surprise? They're brothers.
They're
They
brothers.
are brothers. Yeah, I don't think I read the blurb, but I knew going into it was male female, so I didn't have that thought.
And I also think that part of like that universal theme that we get with the dreamer versus resilience versus light versus dark, the other thing that we get is the balance of personal happiness with professional obligations.
Yeah.
And again, these are timeless themes. These work versus, some of the other bullshit people are trying to sell us to read right now.
Well, but I think part of it, though, too, is the way this a lot of the story, like in the second part, plays out. Because Remy hires confidence, which I will say, you cannot just all of a sudden be a lawyer in a different state. Like, it doesn't work that way without taking the state's bar. Like, you have,
There is a US bar.
unless,
There is a
well, yeah,
national
and
bar.
she was practicing in DC, so she probably,
Right.
yeah.
And there are universal bars. There are certain bars you can
Well, I'm
take in
just saying.
certain states that have reciprocal. And the only reason I say all of that is Dylan Allen herself is
Is
an
a lawyer.
attorney.
Oh, yeah.
Again,
Okay.
what a
I was going to
surprise.
ask. Yeah,
Nobody
that
is
makes sense.
surprised by this.
Surprise, there's a romance author who's an attorney. The
That's an
other
attorney.
thing that's really interesting about Dylan Allen is she went to Howard, the historically black college. And she often talks about how that molded and shaped her and this desire to tell these stories of class difference and importance of respect. And confidence herself sometimes feels a little preachy. Like she gets up on her soapbox. But also, I think that don't you feel like one, that Dylan Allen's a lawyer, and so now that makes a little more sense. But two, you kind of sometimes have to be heard. Like if you don't say it
Well,
7,000 times, people aren't hearing it.
and it didn't bug me when she got in those moments because she's fighting for people who are less fortunate. So it's like the reasoning behind the soapbox and the thought process behind the preaching and the need for them to do more and see more is because she was those people at one time and she wants these rich, privileged numbskulls to see the fact that, like, they are privileged. They could be doing so much more to help these people. And I think that was one of the things that I really liked about her is like she was very, very intelligent. Like she studied what she was talking about. She was not just spouting nonsense. Like she knew like what she was saying. And that was the big thing. And that's why I didn't feel like she came off as preachy or like obnoxious in that sense, because of the fact that like she
But she,
visited those
yeah,
people.
well, and she experienced it, like you said. Like
Yeah.
there's something to be said for experience being a teacher. Like
Yeah.
you can
And the
understand that.
self-awareness.
Yeah.
So their character arcs, I think we see such great growth in the both of them through this book. And it was so exceptionally well done. And I know the book is on the longer side. It didn't feel long. The pacing was, it was
detailed. There's always something happening.
And it, sometimes I was like, wait, everybody needs to sit down so I can figure out where everybody is and what everyone is doing.
But that's the thing, it was constantly moving. Yeah. Like, constantly.
I also like that it wasn't a duet because it could have been done as a duet. And she might have originally written it as a duet because that would have been very on trend for 2018. I'm glad we got it in one book. It wasn't a cliffhanger.
I don't think this was ever a duet. I think this was always just one book.
I mean, it's a beefy guy, but it's split into two parts.
Yeah.
So it could have been.
Well, and it was like a natural two parts.
Yeah.
It's actually only 380 pages.
It's only 380. It felt... But there's so much to
there's it. There's so much that happens in it, though. Like, it seems a lot longer, but not in a bad way.
But it didn't read
because
long.
It just, there's so much going on. Because, like, in part one, you have a lot of, like, them in Italy, and then their relationship when they come back to the States, and then the family thing, and then they break up because he's a dumbass and confident.
Okay,
I got a
question about when they break up.
Okay.
So, because there was this paragraph that I read like three times, because I'm like, does she call him and have phone sex and hang up on him?
Yes.
Okay. And she does that multiple times.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
She uses him to get her rocks off. And
she makes a comment about it later where she uses him because it helps her fall asleep.
Yeah. But I was just like, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, a little bit of a petty revenge, a little bit, don't you think, though?
But he is like all in for it. Like, he does not care. Like,
he's going to take whatever he can get.
Well, because he also was dumb. He was stupid. So
he was stupid. So, like, he will take those tiny little breadcrumbs because she ignores him for the most part.
his family is. Like, people and their guns in this book, I'm like, we're just whipping them out, like.
Well, and then you have, like, the dude, the asshole
Barry.
Barry. I couldn't think of what Barry's name is. Barry was a tool and a half. But he got his comeuppance because he attacks her and... He loses his mind and almost beats the shit. Well, I mean, he does beat the shit out of him, but like.
Yeah, but then he comes back with a gun.
And then he comes back with a gun. But okay.
The one thing I do want to say is, you know, one of the things that I've screamed about for the last 6 months is I want stakes and emotion over vibes.
There were no vibes here.
This is all stakes.
This is what I'm. But the emotion in this book, too, this is what I want. That was 350 pages.
I fully
pages.
Admit that I teared up a couple times, and I might just be hormonal and in the flu fog, but I definitely teared up a couple times.
But it was thought-provoking, and
yeah.
It made you really look at the characters, and there was stuff that you could really sink into in this book. Do you know what I mean? Like, his relationship with his aunt, and then to find out she's his mom, like... The turmoil, I could kind of forgive him a little bit for some of his dumb stuff.
Well, but even like his aunt, when like they're at the diner and she looks at Confidence, is like, how much money do you, or how much?
I was like, tries to bribe her. I wouldn't like you.
But the fact that Confidence like lays her out and like fillets her up and like, I love that scene so much. Like, I was not a big fan of the aunt / mom for most of the book. Like, I didn't really like her. I thought that she was just an obnoxious person who didn't really understand like how family and love really works. But when Confidence like lit into her in that scene, I was like, yeah, bitch, you tell her.
Well, the other thing is so this was a pretty angsty read. Mm-hmm. And Leah, you're often like, I don't want the angst in my books. I don't like.
I don't want a angst that is displaced and not needed.
Like, you don't want manufactured angst.
Manufactured, yes. Like, I don't think this book, had it not had the angst, would have worked. Like, you needed the angst. You needed the messy. I mean, I like an angsty book, but it has to make sense.
It all made sense in this book, and I just kept going, these people are messy. And you
I know.
totally know that you'd be the lady like vacuuming your yard to watch the drama unfold. You know what I'm talking
100%.
about.
Oh, I would
I'm gonna
definitely say
dust my bushes because I gotta know what's going on with these neighbors because they be crazy.
I mean, it's not like there's any neighbors close, but
No, but like.
I'd be taking a long stroll through the
Or would
woods.
you have been at the diner with the aunt in confidence and been like,
Well,
yeah, then
and but
Henny.
that's something too. Like you get that small town like feel too, and like the nosy people, and it's like they're getting up in everybody's business. So it's like you have that small town like character on top of like all the chaos that is happening. And so it's like there's so many moving parts in this book that it almost seems like it's going to be too much, but it's almost not enough.
Well, and I think we get like all that personal growth. You get the family legacy and just the timeless theme of finding balance between love and duty and how this works in your world. Like, I just think all of those layers that this story gave us just it, this
Yeah,
is a
because
book that I think you reread, it reads different every time you read it.
I would say like one of the like main themes of like found family versus blood family, because she struggles with like, okay, I did not see like her brother had killed her dad. I did not see that coming. I was like, oh
I
sh
honestly figured it would be her mom, like in a moment of
right,
like panic.
self-defense. And so then she's concerned that like she's gonna pass on those like anger I issues or addiction issues to her children.
Well,
Which
but
is
then
really
you get like
realistic,
this, like
though.
with her mom too, like they have such a good relationship, and like she was really the mom loved Hayes, and so like she was even madder at the fact that he did what he did because it like was disappointing to her mom at the same time.
Is there anything else in the legacy that we want to talk about before we go to the next part?
Poppy's like my favorite side character. The
Poppy
like
too is,
house manager,
yeah.
that like just walks up and is like, this gun isn't loaded. Like,
Were so many guns, and you have to wonder, was that a Texas thing?
it's
I
still a
mean,
Texas thing.
yeah, like, because I thought about it, I was like, Ohio's like open carry now, and I'm like, but I don't
You have
feel
all this
like.
Texas cowboys. There's a lot of guns in Texas, just everywhere.
Like, it
Everywhere.
was a little, like, at first, the first couple times, I'm like, okay, I guess we're
It's very
having guns.
realistic. It's a realistic.
Which is interesting because I didn't realize until after that Dylan Allen had lived in the Houston area and grew up there because she lives in DC. And I think she, well, the DC area now, I think she lives like Maryland outside Baltimore and stuff. And the East Coast, guns are not, you know, just.
All
Bandish
willy-nilly.
brandished at the dining room table, or you know, the housekeeper doesn't typically come up and be like, just give it to me.
I did like her.
I don't know if Poppy has a book or not, because she writes, so Dylan Allen writes some of the smaller side characters in the 1001 Dark Knight books.
I don't believe Poppy does. Tyson, one of the brothers, has a book in that series. And then, there's a family that is loosely connected with the town that has a book. His name is Omar. He played soccer. Because I actually am doing a Q&A for that one. It's called The Mastermind with Dylan.
I will say, I think that Dylan Allen just kind of became like a favorite author for me. Like, I need to make time now to dig into the rest of these books because one, this family is so messy. Like, I'm invested in
I
this.
am excited for it more.
I mean, I jumped right in and it starts like right at the hospital where she gives him the envelope. Like,
I'm trying to think if I have time this week.
I don't
Can
have
I get the
time.
audiobook in this week? Oh, it was just so good. And I think Dylan has like a really great, unique voice.
Yes. Yeah.
And the pacing, the pacing was so good in this book. For as messy as it was and as crowded as the pages were, I don't feel like we ever lost anyone.
Right.
No.
And it was just snappy. And it just kept moving. And I don't know if that's because there was just one catastrophe around the corner. Like,
I think it was a little bit of both, though. Like, it just, like, there was so much going on. But, like, it just really worked and made sense.
Well, and, like, she markets these as interconnected standalones. But there's, like, I don't feel like there was anything, like, hanging out. Like, everything felt complete. But there's stuff that she could definitely, like, dude could come back from the dead. What's happening with the Barry dude? Like, is he gonna lose his mind? Because, like, he worked for Remington. Like,
right.
There's a lot she could do. Like, it was
well, just like, she created this world in which that she could really go any direction with it. And I think that's the big thing is, like, the world itself that she's made, like, there's so many options. Because you have, like, that small town feel. You have the small town gossips, but you have, like, the rich, like, in charge of everything families too. So book two is Remy, book three is Regan, and so it's like you get those ones, but Regan is with Stone, which is one of the brothers of Hayes.
Leah, like, is so invested in this series.
What's book four?
Book four, it's like a it's like a Christmas special type thing.
Okay. Gotcha. So we get everybody wrapped up.
it's wait, but what's this? The Gathering, a brand new holiday novella.
Okay. Leah's like, how much? So make sure you check out.
I was looking to see if Poppy had something. She does not at this time. Okay. But
well, maybe you could ask her that in your Q&A question.
Why are you sending? I might just have to send another question.
Also, if you're listening to this in the next like couple days and you have a question that you would like to ask Dylan Allen, email Leah at bookcaseandcoffee.com and she can ask Dylan, and then we'll announce when the Q&A is up on the website because it's a web-based Q&A, and so
we are hoping to talk to her eventually, but right now we could not make it work in
our schedules. We would love to interview her.
Kind of disappointed, so but we're doing the web Q&A instead.
Okay, so let's do our thumbs up, thumbs down. Amanda wants to make it very clear that she will accept zero criticisms on this book, and it is a thumbs up for Amanda. So Jenny, thumbs up, thumbs down after like you've now been threatened.
Well, thumbs up because I already started book two. So,
Leah, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Mine is also thumbs up. I really liked her writing style. I like the character development. I like the story arc. There really is, aside from like the little edit issues, there was really nothing that I disliked about this
book.
And they
didn't exist in the audiobook. And so, 10 out of 10 loved the audio. Thumbs up for me. I was already a Dylan Allen fan because I think that like confidence is pursuit of social justice is very ingrained into who Dylan Allen is as an author and as a human. And I've already was a fan of hers just as a human. And now to know that her book is this good, like I am ready. Like I'm going to try to have to figure out how to read book two. So, I'm so excited for this book. Like, I really hope everybody will pick it up that hasn't read it yet.
And I will say she likes Messy because the mastermind, even though it's 1001 Dark Nights, but it's on the longer side for one of those. It's pretty messy.
Is it pretty messy?
It's pretty messy. So,
and that makes me wonder, you need to ask her though, does she have a love of nighttime soap operas?
I'll have to ask.
Where does this love of the messy saga come from?
There's definitely soap opera vibes like underlying.
There were a couple times where I was like, and these are the days of our lives. I mean, nobody got possessed by the devil like they did in Days of Our Lives, but it's there if we want it.
Yeah.
Anyway, if people liked this book or want more books like this, what would we recommend?
So Ivy Lane has her Winter Saga. It's a long family saga with like an overarching storyline through a bunch of the books, but it there's some messy to it, like some chaos, but it has that same kind of billionaire vibe.
Yeah. I thought of Marie Johnson and her different
the kings
oil and all those and ones. The oil dukes. Yeah.
The barons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really felt like she tends to write a little bit of a family saga. If you like the idea of a world that's a little messy and nothing is really like clean.
And they have the crappy parents.
They do have crappy parents. I also thought of Lauren Rowe, just her world, like with the Morgan family. It's that messy, complicated world that, you know, wealth and, you know, warring backgrounds and stuff like that. I think that that also does well. Jay Salmon's The Doctor series, her Billionaire Doctor, Boston Billionaire Doctors, has some of the similar vibes, especially if you read the Edge series before you go into The Doctors, because you get the sister's book. That kind of has some of that soapy, because everybody's in the hospital. Like they're the nurses in the Edge book. They're nurses. And then you go into The Doctors. And so it's kind of that general hospital, like, soapiness.
going on at the hospital.
I will say, like, Nikki Sloan's Filthy Rich Americans, like that series.
But those are bonkers.
Those are bonkers, but they have like that, like,
those are banana time, banana bonkers.
But they have that family saga chaos. They do. To it.
Sawyer Bennett's The Bluegrass Empire definitely has some of those. But if you want the found family vibes, I think we kind of get some of that with her Jameson Force.
Yeah, definitely.
Melissa Foster, she has a couple family sagas with her Braden Montgomery's.
Really, all of hers are family sagas.
Well, and it's kind of that messy world too, right? Like, I would say A.L. Jackson maybe with Redemption Hills.
Well, really, like any of hers, they have, like, because it's either family or found family, like,
and there's like intertwined series,
and they're intertwined, and like but there's always the secrets. There's always secrets in hers. Like, there's always a culmination, like, in the third act of like something that's been hidden, like with Hayes's parentage. Like, hers is, you never know what it's gonna be.
You know, I really liked this book. Like, this is one of those that's going to live rent free in my head for a while.
Yeah.
So
that's I seriously ended this book and was like directly to the Kindle store. Like,
well, and I have to tell everybody, earlier this morning, Jenny texted the group chat of the co-hosts and was like, who's on tonight's episode? I have to talk about this book. And I was like, Oh shit, she didn't like this. And then I'm like trying to go through the book in my head, like, there shouldn't have been anything in this that was like
a hot button issue for Jenny. like we both maybe were a the little guns, for but... a minute.
No, it was good.
We just both were kind of like, because we usually try to warn Jenny if there's gonna be something in a book that we know is gonna make her ragey. We do try to warn you.
For a hot minute, Becky and I were like, oh no, what's going to happen? But then you kept going and it made more sense.
Yes, because that was like right when she was like, oh, so my brother killed my dad. And I'm like, what?
Sometimes things happen.
Sometimes I mean, it made sense how it happened, but and then it just kept going.
It just kept going.
It just kept going.
So anyway, that is a wrap on this episode. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into The Legacy by Dylan Allen. We hope that you all will continue on with the series and give it a check out. If you've never read something by Dylan Allen, 10 out of 10 recommend read her books. Yeah. And then we will be back Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the YouTube or later that evening in your podcast feed. I don't remember what we're talking about this week.
I don't have a clue.
Are we doing age gaps this week?
Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. You just put the numbers on the calendar, so.
Yeah, I did, and I because we never know exactly what we're talking about.
I don't have the darndest idea.
I'm not sure what we're talking about. We should probably look and prep for that. You know what this means, though? This means nobody made a doc yet.
Also true.
Which.
Anyway, okay.
It's been a week, people. It's been a week.
But we'll be here Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Talking about something. Yeah.
Yep.
Next week we're deep diving into The Broker by Nikki Sloan. Based on reviews, I don't know what we're going to talk about, but we're going to talk about this book. There's a lot of sexy times.
Is there any plot?
I think we'll see.
Find out, I guess.
We will see. The plot might be a little light. This might be a Heather title.
Oh yeah.
Okay, since we canceled last week's Wednesday's episode.
I'm sorry.
Well, Leah was sick and things were just Whitney, My Love is a beefy book and I want to make sure that we give it the time. And Amanda and I could have done the episode and we'd have been fine, but I felt like you read this
book. I have
book,
lots of thoughts.
And you have lots of thoughts and it felt really important that we give it its time. And so I overruled the executive producer guy, and we will have a special Sip and Discuss episode on Friday, April the 11th, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the YouTube, and then it'll fall into your podcast feed after. We're going to chat about all things Whitney, My Love by Judith McNaught. So come spend a Friday night with us, April 11th. You can find details on our website. I just put information up there. Also, starting Monday, I'm bringing back Mug Monday.
I love Mug Monday.
And you can find details. Well, because I bought some new mugs at TJ Maxx this weekend and I felt like we might need to celebrate mugs so that people don't yell at me for buying more mugs.
So everybody can see the mugs that Becky bought. Yes.
True story. True story. So make sure you check out our website for our Mug Monday celebration and come back and join us Sunday night. So until next time, everybody.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.